As you'll be very well aware, this passage comes after Israel have come out of the land of bondage, out of the house of Egypt, and they've crossed the Red Sea. God has delivered them there. And between that event and this event that we've just read in chapter 18, we've had the waters of Marah being turned from bitter to sweet. We have had the manna being provided from heaven. We have had the water coming gushing out of the rock and the battle against the Amalekites. And this brings us then to chapter 18, which slots right in before Moses goes up Mount Sinai to meet with God for that mountaintop experience. And such an experience it was for Moses that in chapter 33, verse 11, it's described as the Lord speaking unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. What a close fellowship that was with the Lord. And it was there on that mount where Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory." And God appeared to Moses, showing him the hindermost parts of his glory. And there Moses came down from that mountaintop experience, and his face shone because he had seen the glory of God. And I trust that even tonight, as we're gathered here as God's people, with God's word open before us, and as we come before the throne of grace to pray, that we would leave this house with the glory of God's presence about us, with our faces shining and beaming that we've been with the Lord tonight. And if I was to take a step further, can we say that since we've been saved, there has been a beam about us, that we are saved? Do people look at us and know that we are saved? There's a daily challenge there, I believe, even in that. But before Moses reaches this mountaintop experience, he has to first go through a problem, a valley, which we read of here in verse 18, or chapter 18 of Exodus. And that's how often God works in our lives. Often before we reach the mountaintop experience, before we reach the peaks, we know really great fellowship with God, and we know God's presence and power and the joy of God. Before we reach that, often God has to bring us through the valley, bring us through the problem. And that's what we find in chapter 18. Before Moses goes up into the mount, he is faced with a problem. And I'm reminded of a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, and it sums it all up. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You see, first there is the chastisement, and then there is the peaceable fruit. And remember, fruit takes a little while to grow. So you mightn't see the peaceable fruit for a long time. You may be in that valley for a long time. It mightn't be as short as Moses is here. You can think of characters like Job, who faced the valley for a long time. And there was Joseph as well, long, many years between when he was sold into Egypt and before he became king, or second to the king rather, there in the land of Egypt. Many years in the prison before he realized those peaceable fruits of righteousness. Just in this passage tonight, there's just a couple of points that I just want to lay before you. First of all, I want us to think about the person here. That's Moses, the person. Moses' name, as we all sure well know, means drawn out of water, referring back to when he was that child. The sentence of death had been spread across the land, that all males were to be killed. And Moses was put there in that ark of bulrushes. And then Pharaoh's daughter saw him and drew him out of the water and called him Moses, saving him from death. And you know, dear brother and sister, can't we say that we're saved? Can we cry with the psalmist in Psalm 18, verse 16, where it says, "He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters." Can't we praise God that we're saved tonight? That God has drawn us out of many waters. And praise God, we're going to see here tonight that when God saves us, God keeps us. Whom he saves, he keeps. For here in chapter 18, when Moses faces a problem, God provides a way out of the problem and is with him. And as Moses faces this problem in his journey to Canaan, so we're going to face problems on our way to the New Jerusalem, on the way to heaven and home. The person Moses, he was saved, he was drawn out of water. But here, notice secondly, the problem that Moses faces. The problem that he faces. You may be familiar with this passage. They've set up camp. Moses is to deal with all the social problems, as it were, judging between right and wrong. As it were, civil laws, as people brought causes one against another, or there was issues, they were to bring them to Moses. Moses would inquire of the Lord and would settle them according to the Lord's law and the Lord's statutes. But as you can imagine, with the millions of people that there would have been, this was a very big burden for Moses to bear. And Moses actually, you can see he was walking with God. He was still among God's people. He was there in the camp. He was still praying, because if you look at verse 15 and 16, we'll just read those again. Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So they come to Moses, and Moses then inquires of God. He has to pray unto the Lord for guidance and for direction. So Moses, he was walking with God, he was still among God's people, he still had a good prayer life, we could say. And the fact that he was able to judge these matters according to the law and the statutes of God, we would say today he knew his Bible. He was doing well. He was walking the good Christian walk, knew the word of God, prayed with the Lord, was still among God's people. But yet there is a problem. Look at verse 14. Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. He said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning on to even." Verse 18, "Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." You see there those two times it says about him being alone. It says there that he's going to wear himself out. "Thou wilt surely wear away." And that word wear away, just means falling away, fainting, coming to naught. It's a word you can sort of picture in your head. And maybe this is you tonight. Maybe your Christian walk's going fine. You're still reading the Word of God. You're still praying. You know the Word of God. You're here tonight. You're among God's people. But maybe there's a problem. Maybe you do feel lonely in your Christian walk. Or maybe you feel that you're wearing out under some burden which maybe no one else knows about but just you. I trust, even if that's how you are tonight, that God would have a word for you just tonight. In the midst of this problem, so we have the person Moses, he saved, the problem, he's still walking with God, yes, but there is a problem in this massive burden that he's bearing. Maybe your problem is a financial problem. Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, think of the context of that verse. When they're concerned about how will we clothe ourselves, how will we feed ourselves, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Maybe your problem's emotional. God says in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, that he's going to wipe away all tears. It's repeated again in Revelation. He's going to wipe away all tears. Maybe the problem's physical. Well, in Isaiah 40, verse 29, it says, "He giveth power to the faint." Maybe your problem's personal. Do you know what Christ said when he came into that upper room after he was crucified? He said, "Behold my hands and my feet." Christ was there personally with them. I want you to see, thirdly, whilst Moses had this problem, God's providence was at work. God's providence was at work. Because when this problem came, God had a man there whom he sent to Moses just at the right time, Jethro. God sent Jethro from Midian over to Moses, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. And you know, Jethro's name, it means excellent, or indeed his remnant. We know what a remnant is. It's just what's left over. It's described very well in passages like Isaiah, where it talks about the gleanings that were left at the tops of the trees, which no one could reach. It's just a little leftover, a remnant. And Jethro's name, it comes from the verb which means to rest or a surplus. So we can see his name meaning remnant. When Moses felt alone, God had a remnant. God had a people left to encourage Moses. You can think back to Elijah in his life when he was again in a time of trouble, a time of a problem. And there he was under that tree. And he said to the Lord, "I'm alone left. Who else is there that hasn't bowed the knee before Baal?" The Lord said of thousands that haven't bowed the knee before Baal. There was a remnant there that still were serving God. As I said, Jethro, his name comes from the verb to be a rest. And as we read there, Moses, he's wearing away. He is alone. He's being worn down. And under the load of social problems, God provided him a rest. He brought Jethro along his pathway to provide for him wisdom and how to deal with all of these thousands of people coming and bringing their social problems to him. That Jethro had a method that God gave him that wisdom to show Moses a more perfect way, wherein he would appoint elders to listen to the problems, listen to the lower and smaller issues, and then any larger issues would be appealed to Moses, brought unto him, so that he would have less of a workload, that he wouldn't wear away under the burden, that he wouldn't bear it alone. And you know, dear Christian, there's times where you're going to feel lonely, but God is yet a people. God is yet a remnant. God is yet a rest for the people of God, if not here in this life, in glory in heaven. And we will be with the Lord, who sought us and bought us with his redeeming blood. And you know, Jethro lived in Midian. Moses was in Hebrew. They were brought together by marriage. They were not blood relatives. And you know, tonight, in this very building, there's all different kinds of Christians. We all come from different backgrounds, all different testimonies. As we often pray, and their faces differ, so do our needs. But in this building tonight, there will be lonely Moseses, but there'll also be Jethros, whom God has sent to comfort and to provide wisdom. And you know, I was even thinking there in recent weeks, Mr. McClung, as he was speaking on male and female in the prayer meetings over the last couple of weeks, he was talking about how they have their two different roles and they're complementary. And he was talking about even within the church, their two different roles, and they're to complement one another, male and female. And then I just seen here Jethro and Moses. Moses the lonely, and Jethro was there to provide that comfort and that rest, that support. And the two complement one another. Iron indeed sharpeneth iron. As we read in the book of Proverbs, God, as I said, used Jethro's wisdom and character to show Moses that he didn't need to bear alone and he didn't need to wear away under the burden, and that there were able-bodied men whom Moses could appoint to support and to help him. And just thinking of this character Jethro and how he came to comfort and to support Moses, it reminded me of a New Testament character. It's maybe someone you maybe haven't noticed or have just quickly read over. I'm guilty of that myself. But he's found in two places in the New Testament, and we're going to turn to those just now. They're quite similar passages. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. He's just one of those names that's mentioned at the end of an epistle. And you'll know, I think Romans 16 has probably got the most amount of names. And sometimes we do read those portions and we just scan over it quickly, or sometimes we don't even realize that a person is maybe mentioned in one epistle and then mentioned again in another epistle. But this man, Tychicus, he is called. He is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. We'll just read these now. "But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts." Again, we'll just flick over to Colossians chapter 4. It's more or less the same. Again, the same man, Tychicus. It's more or less an echo of what we've read there in Ephesians 6. But it's Colossians 4, verse 7 and verse 8. "All my estate shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Comfort your hearts. Tychicus' name means fortunate. And he has this reputation here of being one that comforts people. Paul had picked up on this God-given gift that Tychicus had and sends him not just to one, but to two congregations, to Ephesus and then to Colossae. Perhaps Paul maybe experienced some of Tychicus' comfort for himself. In one of the epistles, there's a big list of all the problems and trials that Paul has been through in his life, his stoning, his shipwrecking, his beatings, etc., etc. Perhaps in one of those situations, it was Tychicus that came alongside to comfort Paul. And Paul, perhaps seeing this gift, sends Tychicus to go to two churches to give them comfort, to comfort them in their affairs. And actually, the idea conveyed behind this Greek word comfort really presents it very clearly. You can really picture it. For the Greek word, it really has the idea of drawing near to someone in a casual, friendly manner, and then to call them or bid them. And you can picture that, you know, just someone coming alongside you, calling you by your name, saying, "Well, how are you? Having a wee talk with you." You know, it's a means of providing comfort. Just something so simple. Just a simple hello or a smile on your face. can mean comfort to somebody. And maybe you'll never be called to be a preacher. Maybe you'll never be called to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're past the strength of your youth, but you know, you can be like Jethro and you can be like Tychicus. You can just comfort another believer who's maybe feeling like Moses, alone and wearied and worn out. And you can be like a Tychicus just to comfort them. And if tonight you come to the prayer meeting and you do feel alone, and you do feel worn out, just as we come to pray, can you just pray in your heart for a Tychicus or for a Jethro to come to you? Or even better, pray for God the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter that Christ has left with us when he went up into glory. So we've had Moses, the person, then his problem, and we've had God's providence. And fourthly, we have the promise. Back in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 23, we read of a promise. It says there, "If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace." Moses, you're going to be able to endure if you do this. You're going to be able to endure. That word endure means establish, raise up, repair, stand, or tarry. If you're worn out, God can repair you. God can make you to endure. God can establish you through his promises. Are the promises of God wonderful? How, when you do feel alone, when you do feel worn out, and you come alone before God, before his word, that he has a promise just for you, just for your moment. Praise God that we have such a wonderful book as the Scriptures. Perhaps even tonight, as we do come to pray, we'll be making a point of prayer, just to pray generally for people that maybe are gathered here tonight that do feel alone, that do feel worn out, and also to pray for those who've attended this congregation for many years, and tonight, due to sickness, due to age, cannot be in God's house anymore. That God would draw near to them, that they wouldn't feel alone, that they wouldn't feel worn out, and that God would help them even physically. May we pray for such like that who've been faithful to this congregation, who are alone. We can think of even the nursing home ministry, and many folk in those homes perhaps have felt lonely over these past 18 months or so. Can we just take them upon our heart and pray for them? And you know, it'd be wrong for me to get down of here and not properly mention the Lord Jesus Christ, not properly mention the cross and the gospel. As Pastor Willie Mullins says, if you don't get to the cross, you may give in your gun. So we can't close this message without mentioning the gospel. And we've thought about Moses, the person that was drawn out of the water, he was saved. But you know, maybe someone here or is listening, and you've never been drawn out of that water. You're still there in that ark of bulrushes. There's still that sentence of death upon your head. You've never been saved. Sentence of eternal death and hell is still upon you, maybe. Do you know Christ has crossed that river of death? He defeated death. He was bruised for our sins and for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And you know, like Moses and like we've thought here, this problem that he has, there's a valley which all of us believers are guaranteed to face. That's the valley of the shadow of death. But for the unbeliever, that's not the valley you're going to face. You're going to face straight down into the pit of hell, there to endure God's wrath and torments forever. But dear sinner, you know, God sent not just a Jethro, not just a Tychicus. God sent his only begotten Son to save you. He died on the cross, giving his own life, living a perfect life, and took away your sin, that you might be saved. If you just call upon the Lord, if you just come and put your faith and trust in him tonight, if you're not saved, and know peace with God for all eternity, and know that promise of everlasting life. May God even bless this word to our hearts. And as I said, let us pray particularly for those who do feel lonely at this time. It's been 18 months, and a lot of it's been lockdown. And even as I've said, the nursing home ministry and people who've attended this congregation for years and are sick or unwell and can't come out to God's house, that God would really draw near to them. That God would have divine appointments, just as Jethro came to Moses at the right time. That God would have divine appointments, and God would speak through his word and his promises.